It's good to see you guys here this morning and just thankful for you. And as we continue our series, The King Has Come, as we're preparing, getting ready for that Christmas time, Christmas Day, as we celebrate the birth of our Savior. What a great time. Listen, this is one of the best times of the year. Amen. Just remembering the greatest gift that's ever been given in Jesus Christ. As we continue this series, as we look at different stories kind of leading up to the birth of Christ, where angels have spoken to those that are involved in this story, we talked about the angels speaking to Zechariah, angels speaking to Mary, and this morning we're going to talk a little bit out of Matthew about when an angel came and spoke to Joseph in his dream. You know, one of the things that I love about Christmas is just, other than, you know, Jesus, obviously that's the foundational part of that. But also I love just the lights and the traditions of Christmas. Always a fun time for family when you're getting together, getting everything ready. And what's so funny about Christmas is we always have some great plans for Christmas. You know, we want to have the perfect tree with the perfect lights and ornaments. We want to have the perfect lights on the outside of our house or inside of the house. We want to have those perfect family moments where we're all making cookies together. And also those moments where we're doing gingerbread houses. You know, those are our plans. And every Christmas it comes and we lay out those plans. But needless to say, it always seems that something happens. You know, one of the plans that we had this weekend was to go to the Hampton Parade and to serve hot chocolate and see the band and all the floats come through. Listen, it's always a great time, but then here comes a storm. It's interesting when we have our best plans laid out and then life's interruptions show up. Now listen, I recognize that in life's interruptions of maybe lights that don't work, or a tree that is a little crooked, as we have this year. You know, those things come and go. But for many of us, we have life interruptions that are far greater. Maybe it's a sickness or illness. Maybe it's an accident. Maybe it's something to do with our job. When life's interruptions come into our life, what do we do? So this morning, we're going to talk about Joseph. And really one of the greatest, glorious life interruptions that has ever occurred, as we talk about what Joseph did and how he handled the birth of Jesus. So if you would, open up to Matthew chapter 1. That's where we're going to be. We're going to read Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18 together. And we're going to go back and look at the story and what it means for us, and look at Joseph's life and how he handled this life interruption and what that means for us. So Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. If you're able, would you stand as we read God's word this morning? This is what God's word says in Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Father, thank you for your word, and we just thank you for that power that's in your word. And our prayer is always with that the Holy Spirit would move and work in this place and in our heart, transforming us into who you want us to be. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll change things up a little bit on you this morning. If you have your notes, and whether it's the program that you had, the bulletin when you came in, or whether you're looking on your phone, we'll change it up a little bit. I threw Shane a little curveball this morning. We're going to skip over that first part this morning on the notes and move that to the end. I want to go right to the passage this morning and talk a little bit about this story and the scenario that Joseph found himself in. Listen, there's nothing more frustrating at times, nothing more difficult than when we are confronted with a life interruption that knocks us off our plan, derails us a little bit. You know, how do we handle those things, and what do we do in the midst of that? I think it goes without saying that Joseph experienced one that's pretty big, and probably bigger than anything that we would probably ever encounter. But he did in kind of come upon this life interruption in his life. And we do the same. We had those life interruptions. And so I want to look just a few things that we find in this story and talk a little bit about Joseph and how he handled this life interruption. And as you look at the bottom part of your notes, those 3 points there, I just want to look at the first one as we think about this passage. And listen, here's what God's Word says as we're looking at this. It says this. It says that as we look at the beginning, it says, "And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly." So let's set the scenario here once again. They were betrothed, they were engaged, but especially in biblical time, that engagement is much different than what we see here and now in our culture and our day and time. You know, for many parts of our culture and world today, even the engagement process of a couple is very superficial at times and almost can be broken at any time. And that's kind of where we are as a society. Now, in biblical times, being betrothed, being engaged in this way was more than just your typical engagement. This is something that has been planned. They have been prepared for this. This is something that is a commitment, and it's a long-term commitment, almost to the point of being married. I mean, it is very serious. To break that it was very difficult and very hard, and it looked bad in society. And so that's where they were. They were engaged. And so here we have Joseph. Again, probably, now we can't read into this. Matter of fact, Joseph's not talked about a lot in Scripture. The most of what we know about Joseph is found here in Matthew chapter 1. But just reading the words that we have about Joseph, we can really surmise this, that he was a good man. I mean, that's what it says. It says, "And her husband Joseph, being a just man." So we can say this, he was, in your translation may say righteous. He was a righteous man. So he was good. It means he followed the law. He did the things he was supposed to do. He lived a right life. He was a good man. And I think it goes without saying that they had plans. I think they knew kind of where they were going to be. This is what they wanted to do. They were going to get married. This engagement was going to last a year or so. And then they're going to come together and live life and do the things that God wants them to do. I really believe that. And so they had these great plans laid out before them that they had been talking about and mulling over. And now here we have this life interruption. And I'm going to call it a glorious interruption, because we can look back on it. But at the time, Joseph sees this as a devastating experience. And so number one here is this, is that our plans may not be God's plans. So what we find in this story is that Joseph's plans, Mary's plans, were not necessarily God's plans for them. Now, we know that, and there's many people in here, maybe in churches, Christians, that have kind of walked this same scenario where they have laid out their life. They knew what they're going to do, what school they're going to do, go to, what job they wanted to have, and do all these things. But it seems many times that things begin to change. And listen, we recognize that we can plan all that we want, but it seems like there's going to be a life interruption. And listen, there are many scenarios in that. God working and moving and changing. Satan having his way in our world today with evil. Listen, there are things that happen in our life But we recognize in it all that we recognize that our plans may not be God's plans. And that's an important truth to understand. It says, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. So Joseph had to change his plans. He recognized that their plan was not going to work. That this idea was for them to live life happily ever after. That was not going to happen because she was pregnant. And that had to be devastating to him. Everything just kind of flipped and turned upside down. Yet so he finds himself at a crossroads. Now, legally at the time, all kinds of things could have happened. She could have been publicly shamed, disciplined, stoned to death, whatever may have happened. But listen, again, Joseph was a righteous man. He was kind. He was compassionate. Those are the things that were combined for him. He knew God and he was righteous and right in his eyes, but also a very compassionate man. And that's shown by the words here. He was unwilling to put her to shame. And so Joseph had to change his plans. You know, you may be here this morning and your plans are having to change. And if that's you, listen, this message is for you because we've all walked this path and many of us are walking this. Maybe it is an illness. Maybe it is a sickness. Maybe it is an accident, or maybe it's a job situation, a family situation, whatever it may be. But there's a change, and now you're having to walk in that change. And how do you respond to that? Well, first thing I just want to encourage you, listen, our plans may not be God's plans. And so that's the first thing you need to understand. And this is important to remember. Why is that? Because listen, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. God does. I don't know if you guys have watched the Macy's Day Parade. Did y'all watch it this Thanksgiving? Raise your hand if you watched the parade. Yeah, so that is a tradition for us. So we wake up on that Thanksgiving Day, we turn on the TV, and we watch the parade, and then we watch football. You know, that's just what we do. And so we always watch the parade, and every year I'm like, oh, we need to go to New York and go to the Macy's Day Parade. I want to go watch that. And then I see the thousands and thousands of people. I'm like, eh, maybe not. Now, you know, that's a lot of people, and in my space, I don't know if I can handle that. But, you know, parades like that that are huge, thousands of people just on top of each other, crammed in to these streets and watching this parade go by. And I'm fascinated by it because it's a great parade. But what I've learned about parades, especially that one, is, you know, as the floats come by and as the bands come by and all these things begin to come by, the people that are there, they have a limited view. They can see what's in front of them. So when when a float comes by, they can see the float right in front of them. And they can look at that float, and it's an amazing float, okay? They can look at the float, and it's a beautiful float, and they see it right in front of them. You know what? As it moves on around down the street, around the corner, it's a distant memory. But one of the things that's for sure is they don't know what's coming. You know what? This is all that they can see. You know what? In life, it's very similar to how God works in our life. We have what's in front of us today. This is what we're able to see. And here's the thing. As soon as we begin to understand, and as soon as we surrender to the truth that we may only see this, but God knows what's coming. God knows where we've been, and God knows what's about to happen. And so we come to the realization, listen, our plans may not be God's plans. Which leads us to the next thing. Here's what it says as we look in this passage, verses 20 through 23. It says, but as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Did y'all just hear my southern accent right there? I said fur. I just want y'all to know that. All right, my youth minister mind going off on me right there. And he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, this is almost like a precursor to our candlelight service. So just know that. We're going to talk a little bit about that on the 24th. But here's what I love about this. When we come to the point of recognizing that our plans may not be God's plans, here's the truth that we find from the angel here, is that God's plans are always greater than our plans. So listen, this is the truth. Our plans are not God's plans, but listen, God's plans are always greater than our plans. Listen, if God knows what has been and what is and what will be, if God is good as God's Word says He is, if He is perfect and He is just, can I just tell you that means that His plans and His purposes are great. And for us, listen, if we have a life interruption in our life, if maybe even call it a disruption in our life, and things look bleak, maybe it is something that we are dealing with or we're having to walk through. And listen, the reality is this, whatever it may look like, whatever it may be, no matter what is happening, we know that God can do all things. That His plans are good and right and perfect. You know, it has to be kind of frustrating. Satan throws out everything that he can do, but the reality is he don't win. God works all things for His good and for His purpose. And so we can trust when we say those words, listen, our plans may not be God's plans, but the reality is God's plans will be greater. Whatever God wants to make and use out of this situation, whatever God wants to do, maybe this is an interruption that is used to change us and mold us, to have us grow stronger. Whatever God is going to do, listen, it's going to be greater and more powerful than anything we could ever imagine. And this is the picture that we have with Joseph. The angel saying, Joseph, you have your plans, but listen, God has something greater. This is the plan that's been laid out and it's going to be wonderful and Jesus is going to come and He's going to save the world from their sins. What an incredible picture of God's perfect plan. I'm amazed at what God does and how He works. I just want you to think about this just for a little bit. We look in Scripture and what we find over and over and over again is how God is working. How God moves, whether it's something that He orchestrates to discipline us or change our direction or whether it's taking a situation that's difficult and hard in our life and using it for His glory. Listen, God is constantly and continually working in our life because His plans are great. And we have to recognize that in our life. Here's what Scripture says. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in the mind of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Listen, God's not going anywhere. His plan is perfect. It's going to be fulfilled and He's working it. I love Jeremiah 29:11. You guys probably have that. Many of you is your favorite life verse. And it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Listen, spoken to a people that were expecting one thing, but God is saying another. But in that, God's perfect plan coming to fruition. It's the same for us today. That our God, His plans are greater than anything we could ever imagine. Hold on to His plans. Isaiah 55:9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Listen, God knows. And today, if you're walking through a life interruption, hold on. God is going to work and He's going to move in a powerful way because what He is doing is far greater than anything that Satan can do, anything this world can throw at you. God's plans are great. Now we recognize in this story, this is all part of God's plan. The Holy Spirit working, coming upon Mary, Jesus being born, His ultimate plan. And Joseph and Mary have to make a decision of whether they want to fall in line with what God is doing, to allow God to change them and mold them and follow after His plan. And this is where we come to the last part about Joseph that I love. Look at verses 24 and 25. It says, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. I want you to underline those verses. In your Bible, Matthew chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, underline that, because what we find is Joseph recognizing that God is doing something great. And he's going to do something great. And he has a choice to make. And what does Joseph do? Listen, this is the number three. Three words. Comply, commit, complete. If there's anything that we are to do as people, as we recognize God working and moving in our life, it could be found in these three words. That when we recognize that God is at work, in spite of what we may see and what's happening around us, God is at work. All we can do and what we are called to do is to comply, commit, and complete. What does that mean? We'll comply. Listen, Joseph says, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He surrendered. He threw up his hands. And he said, God, your plan. It's your plan. I want you to work. He complied. That's really the first step for us. It's just that surrender. You know, many people would have walked away from this. It'd been too big, too much. And that's the same that goes with us as Christians. Many times when we face difficult days, there are many that just walk away from the Lord. Listen, any difficult day that you may have and hardship, I pray would draw you closer to the Lord than push you away. But Joseph, it drew him closer to God. He complied. But then it says this, he took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. He didn't just surrender. Listen, he followed. Listen, he committed. He was all in on the plan. He took her home. He was with her. He was married. This was God's plan. This was his plan. Listen, he took it all in and went full force into it. He committed. He committed to God's plan. He committed to what was happening. And he was going to do, as the angel said, as God told him to do. He complied, he surrendered, and he committed. And then listen, this is what it says. And he called his name Jesus. I love this part. Because Joseph didn't just commit, but he completed the task. Did you know that one of the greatest honors for a person at this time, and really, let's be honest, one of the greatest things that we get to do as a parent, we get to name our child. And let me tell you, there are some people that didn't do a very good job at that. And I'm serious. I mean, you hear some names, and you're like, you're smoking something. I don't know, but that's just strange. But you guys have seen those names. You're kind of like scratching your head going, I don't know. Now, when we named our kids, you know, we had to think through everything. Like, we thought, what's it going to sound like when they're in class and they call the name out? You know, you got to really think about it. Are people going to giggle? I mean, that's really something you have to think about when you're naming your child. Then the other thing is you have to think about the initials, right? I mean, you look at the initials and make sure it's appropriate, those kind of things. You got to look at every facet. But regardless, naming your child was a great privilege and right of a parent. Joseph didn't have that privilege. He didn't get to name his child that was being born. It was given to him. But you know what? Joseph, he completed the task. He didn't push back. He didn't raise up his hands and say, God, this is my time. He said, he will be called Jesus. I love that about Joseph. So unheralded in biblical times. Listen, when we talk about biblical characters, Joseph isn't really the first one that comes to mind. Matter of fact, probably very few sermons are preached on Joseph. But can I tell you, there is something powerful about this sentence. And he called his name Jesus. Needless to say, if we're involved in this, if we have been tasked with following through on this life interruption and adjusting our life, his life changed forever. No longer would he be the popular one in town. No longer would people want to be around him. Listen, he'd be kind of pushed to the side because of what was happening. Yet he completed the task and he named him Jesus. Wow. Listen, I love the obedience and the faith that Joseph had as he completed the task before him. Listen, life interruptions will come. And if you haven't experienced those, you will. We all experience them. Whatever that looks like, again, it may be something that God is doing in your life and to get your attention, to turn you this way. I don't have any doubts about that. But listen, Satan's at work too. Even in the midst of those life interruptions and the evil in this world, God is still at work and in control. And so we trust Him. And we have to ask ourselves the question, what am I going to do when that life interruption comes in my life? How am I going to handle that? Well, let's go back to the beginning of the notes. I kind of wanted to end with this. That's why I switched everything over. And I want to end with this. Because some of you right now may be going through a life interruption. And maybe it is God getting your attention and working and kind of that discipline in your life. But maybe for most of us, it's just, we live in crazy times. The evil that's happening in our world today. Maybe something you're experiencing today. But listen, God's in the midst of all things. And so what do we do with these life interruptions? And I just want to challenge you and close with this. Listen, life's interruptions are best interpreted through God's perfect instructions. Life's interruptions are best interpreted through God's perfect instructions. I just want to challenge you today. In the midst of your life interruption, your disruption, how are you looking at it? How do you approach it today? Listen, as we talk about God's direction, I think about Joseph. A life interruption, a glorious interruption for him. But God spoke. And he spoke clearly to Joseph. And Joseph followed through. You know, God is speaking today to you. And he wants to work and move in your life. No matter the interruption that may be happening in your life, are you listening? Listen, first part of this is just pray. Pray. Pray and begin to talk to God today. Seek after Him. Let Him begin to work and move in your heart as you're walking through this life interruption. Hear from the one who is working and moving. Hear from the one that knows what's happening. Hear from the one that is that knows everything about you. Listen, prayer is key. Go to Him and spend time with Him. Psalm 34:17 says, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Listen, God hears. You know, many times our prayer life really is our second thing. You know, we have a life interruption and we want to just handle it ourselves. Can I just encourage you today? Let prayer be your first step. Don't let it be third, fourth, fifth down the line. Let it be your first step. When something happens in your life, go to God first and let Him work. But not only prayer, but listen, this is important, perspective. If you're in the middle of a life interruption, then what's your perspective like? And I dare to say many times our perspective is on the current situation, but can I just encourage you today to maybe change that perspective to an eternal perspective? You know, what does this look like eternally? What does this look like in the grand scope of God's plan in my life? What is happening here that could bring God glory, that may bring God glory? Not about what's happening to me, but what will God do with this? Listen, your perspective begins to change and you go back to that old saying, listen, if God is going to bring you to it, He's going to bring you through it. You begin looking at all these things that God is getting ready to do something big. Listen, that's perspective. So change the perspective in your life and begin looking at it eternally. Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 17. It says, for this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. It's all about perspective when we look at it from an eternal perspective. But listen, here's probably the greatest. And this is what I'm going to close on. Pray. Change your perspective But listen, it all comes down to this. And this is where I believe Joseph found his strength. This is where Mary found her strength. And this is where we find our strength. And it's providence. Providence. Listen, we pray and we have a pretty good perspective, but nothing compares to God's providence. Now, you may not know all that is with that word providence, but it is a powerful, powerful word that talks about who God is. Listen, just a quick description of what providence is. Listen, divine providence says that God is in complete control over all things. Divine providence says this, that He's over the universe as a whole. He's over the physical world, the affairs of all people, all things, all human destiny. Listen, God's providence. He is over and in control in all things. When we begin to understand God's providence, then we realize that life's interruptions have a great purpose. Listen to what Scripture says. Matthew 10:29. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Psalm 103:19. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. Church, I want to encourage you today, as we think about Joseph, in the midst of a glorious life interruption, he was able to stand back and stand upon the divine providence of his God. And can I just encourage you today? There's all kinds of things that we walk through in life, and some are hard and difficult. I'm about to leave here today. I'm about to go visit with a man who is dying and probably won't live another day. In those moments of life interruptions, those hard times, those life changes that come, and listen, it is devastating. How do you approach that? How do you walk through those moments? And my prayer is that you'd walk through them like Joseph and recognize that God is in charge. We may not totally understand everything, but we have a God who is perfect, who's in charge, and who will work in our lives when we trust. So my prayer for you guys, same that I pray for myself, is when life's interruptions come, may I draw closer to God, because He has all the answers.